Well, good morning and a warm welcome to worship this morning. To those of you here in the hall in person, whether a regular, an occasional worshipper, whether or someone who's recently come to be with us. Welcome to those of us joining on Zoom with your slippers and coffee, but we'll not get too jealous about that. And to those listening to the recording of this service at a later stage via our website. Don't panic, it's not a rerun of last week's stated annual meeting. It's just coincidence I'm here standing speaking for a second week running. If you do want me to go over the accounts again, I shall do, but I suspect you got enough of the gist last week. Chris has something to say to us first before I launch into some other intimations.
Hello. This year, the Newport Festival is coming up in about 3 weeks' time, which is exciting. I know we're all excited about that. We have actually, as a church, run by me, we're going to put up a stall, a welfare tent, just outside the church grounds. Basically, if you've never been to a festival before, it's a place where people can come and get some shelter, get some free drinks like water, juice, tea, coffee, get some chat, and just to take a little breather from all the business going on. And it's going to be really sunny, so there's going to be lots of people coming to get free water. So I've created a wee sign-up sheet, like so. It's only an hour throughout the day, and it's half an hour in the morning to set up and half an hour at the end to clear up. If you could please come and speak to me at the end of the service and we can put your name and your contact details, and that'll be it. So we'll have someone in the kitchen, we'll have someone running between, maybe not actually running, but walking, to fill up the stall like with water and teas and coffees and whatnot, and two people there serving and chatting with people. It's also a great opportunity for us as a church to advertise what we're doing over the years, like Messy Church, Holiday Club, our afternoon clubs, from on Wednesday, etc., etc. So please come speak to me at the end of the service, and it'd be really great to have you.
The intimations are all contained in the printed order service. One or two I would like to highlight. Firstly, Amos, our minister, is abroad in Cameroon at the moment, seeing to family matters. And while he's away until the 9th of June, any pastoral care can be received by contacting Rev. Dr. Jim Connolly, and his phone number is in the order service. Church Journal is now ready for distributors. If you don't get a copy yourself, feel free to take one from one of the boxes at the door as you go out. Church Repairs, you will read in the magazine that we, and have heard last week, that we're hopeful of getting back into the church by the end of this month. Sadly, the contractor who's working on the roof, which is the first stage, had an injury and wasn't able to start last week. All being well, he will start tomorrow. We are running, therefore, a week late, but there is a bit of overlap and a bit of slack, so we might yet get in by the end of the month. We might not. Time will tell as weeks go on. You may have noticed, if you tried to come round by the Cooper Road door, that the scaffolding is there, ready to be taken into church to be built up. So things are moving in various directions at the moment. And the final intimation from there is the garden tidy this Saturday and next Saturday this week. We're at 12 Kerr Street to try and prune back and dig up some of the growth in the garden, and then the following Saturday we'll be working outside the grounds here. So please do come along, get some fresh air, some fellowship, ideally bring your own tools with you, and have a nice time. One sad intimation to make is the death of one of our parishioners, Tom Roger. Tom's funeral is on Wednesday, this Wednesday at 3:30 in Dundee Crematorium. And as we customarily do, I'd ask if you would care to stand just as a mark of respect, and I'll say a few words about Tom. We'll have a short silence. Tom was a member of our congregation and had been a frequent worshipper in our church, especially following the loss of his dear wife, Nancy. He was prominent in our community, not least as one of the members of the town council in its final years, prior to the restructuring of local government way back in 1975. As we remember Tom, let us also offer to our Lord our prayers and thoughts for his two sons, together with their families. Reading from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake at their searching. Amen. Please be seated. Most wonderful God, forever beyond our grasp, yet by love always within our reach, we approach you with confidence, Most wonderful Christ, forever ahead of us in wisdom and love, yet by love, always beside us, we approach you with eagerness. Most wonderful Spirit, forever larger than the whole universe, yet by love living in our hearts, we approach you with delight and joy. On this Trinity Sunday, our first hymn 111, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us come together in God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, we give you all thanks and praise and join with the whole world in declaring the greatness of your name. Jesus the Christ, one with you and the embodiment of your Spirit, and through whom you invited all people to be baptized into your triune love. When he was killed, you raised him to life and gave him all authority in heaven and on earth, and in him, through the Holy Spirit, you are with us always, even to the end of the age. God, whose words spoke life and creativity into a formless universe, and order to a nation of escaped slaves, whose strong, compassionate voice challenged injustice through frail prophets, we praise you. Jesus, whose touch smoothed the broken skins of lepers, and who brought a bleeding woman back to health and belonging, whose hand raised from the dead and refused to cast blame on others, we praise you. Spirit, whose breath restores soul and bodies, and whose presence comforts the grieving, whose fire ignites compassion within us for the healing of the nations. We praise you. God of wholeness, we celebrate the healing you bring to us and our world, and we celebrate the promised wholeness that awaits all of creation in your eternal reign. Therefore, with our hearts lifted high, we offer you thanks and praise at all times, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. And let us now pray together as our Saviour has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, number 356, Meekness and Majesty. Now then, we do have some children here. Do you want to come on forward? And I'll have one or two questions, the easiest questions, but we shall see. Okay, you might want to come just a wee bit so you can see one or two pictures to begin with. Okay, I'll just come out of your way. How's that? Now, today is a special Sunday, just like last week was special and some other Sundays are special. You may have heard the word being mentioned, but today is what's called Trinity Sunday. Now, Trinity starts with what letters? What does Trinity begin with? Go on, Lewis.
T and R.
And I. T-R-I. Now, tri means three. Okay. How many can count up to three? How many can count to three? Yes? Yes. Yes? Yes. Okay, three. So we won't talk about threes at the moment. Can you think of anything that has three or a connection with three? Any suggestions? Any thoughts? I'll give you a couple of clues. Raymond will put one up for you. There we go. Hi, Callum.
Triceratops.
It's a triceratops. It's a big dinosaur. So even older than I am. What? Thank you. Why is the tri at the beginning? What do you see that's three about it? Michaela? It's got three horns, yes. Two just above its eye and one just above the nose. So triceratops, three horns. Right, next picture. And it may look a bit old-fashioned, but come on then.
Tricycle.
A tricycle. What's the tri about that? What's the three about that? What do you think? Come on then. It's got three wheels, yes. Which is easier to ride than a bicycle, and even easier than a unicycle. Two wheels or one wheels. So when you're young, and mums and dads give you something to start riding on, it'll probably start with a tricycle. And that is very much like the tricycle I had when I was your age. Yes, it should be in the Transport Museum, but that is it. That one, it had a wee boot on the back like a car does, and it actually managed to hold water, because we would fill it with water sometimes and go along the Prospect Terrace and come back again to our house. It did leak, but it held it for quite a bit. So, a good plaything and a good thing to learn with. But let's get back to the story, and we'll let Raymond kill the screens here so the Zoom people can see you now. So, thinking about threes, and what's special about today? Trinity Sunday. We're thinking about God, and it's not always easy to think about God, so there's three ways as you grow up you'll begin to think about God. The first one we think of is God the Father. The Father is somebody who looks after us and treats us like family, and God does that. He's there very much for us. So God the Father. Now what happened, let's not name the day, but the day before Boxing Day, the day before December the 26th. Oh, somebody thinks. Lewis?
Christmas.
Christmas Day. What happened on Christmas Day? What's Christmas Day special for?
Christ was born.
Jesus was born. Jesus was born. He was special. He was actually God coming down to earth as a human being. Because the people, it's easier to remember something if you see it. But people were just hearing about God, hearing about what might happen, and God felt it would be easier if I go down there and show them. So he came down in the shape of originally a baby and grew up to be a man. And that was God down here on earth as his son. And we celebrate that at Christmas and throughout the year. So there's God the Father, God the Son. What was special about last week? What happened last week that we remember coming down? Last week was Pentecost. Now, Pente's Greek word for five, so Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, when all Easter eggs were on being rolled and eaten. That is when Jesus finally left us, and God sent down the Holy Spirit. Now, it came down, it looked like tongues of flame, remember? And it gave the disciples who were there meeting together the power to speak in different languages and to have the confidence to go out and speak to others about God and about Jesus. So there's the third thing for God. We've got God the Father, who looks after us like a father. God the Son, who's here on earth. God the Holy Spirit, to give us the power. So just like a tricycle, when it's easy to ride, you've got three wheels, but it's one cycle. We've got one God with three parts, but only one God. So let's be thankful for him. And if you can think counting up to three, there's God for you in whatever way you can imagine him. So let's just have a wee short prayer while we think on that. God, we thank you for being such a an important person to come to us in different ways, helping us to grow up, to think about you, to realise how powerful you are and how you're there in different ways, in different places, but you're there for us. And we thank you for doing that and being there. Amen. Now, just to finish off, if you're there for seeing things and remembering, there's a number of pictures come up today that we don't often see, and you can see three things linked into each other. In the very top picture, we have hand, because in some religions, when the person leading the worship will give a sign of a cross like that to people, that's God the Father. Jesus was described as the Lamb of God sometimes, and that's why we have a lamb on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, we have the dove, because the dove is the Holy Spirit coming down, came down when Jesus was baptized. Remember it coming down last week at Pentecost. So you'll often see things like that. It might be a picture of a person being God the Father, or Jesus, God the Son, or usually the dove for the Holy Spirit. But there's a window in a church with these three different elements just to help you remember. So let's move on, and we'll sing our next hymn, number 564, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Let us hear what the Lord has to say to us today in his holy word. Our first reading is from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. And may God bless these readings of his word. And to him be all glory and praise.
Thank you, Catherine. Our next hymn this morning is one that I don't think I knew the tune of, but I am led to believe that it will be familiar to you. It is CH4 number 112, God Whose Almighty Word, Chaos and Darkness Heard. Kevin has just given me an alternative microphone, so I'm just checking I'm switched on and working before I get started. Sadly, my sermon is not as visual as the children's address was, but hopefully it will still be engaging for you. Today is Trinity Sunday. In the life of the church, we have special Sundays. These special Sundays are intended to remember specific historic events in the life of the church, such as Easter Sunday, which remembers the resurrection of Jesus, such as Pentecost Sunday, which remembers when the Holy Spirit came and lived within the first Christians. But today is the only Sunday in the year which is dedicated to a doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity. By Trinity, we mean to say that God is three in one. That is, there is one, God the Father, two, God the Son, and three, God the Holy Spirit. God is fully God when God created and still creates the universe. God is fully God when God lived and still lives in the presence of Jesus. God is fully God when God lived and still lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts today. These are not three gods, but one God who has three different personas or three different dimensions or three different qualities. And that is what the sermon today is about. The Trinity is a very important doctrine. Some worship services begin with these sacred words. Let us begin this service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As those words are spoken, the worship leader makes the sign of the cross. Similarly, some worship services conclude with the same ancient formula, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For 20 centuries, worship services have begun and ended in the name of the Triune God. Life itself also begins and ends with those sacred words of the Trinitarian formula, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. At a baptism, the new baby is baptized with the sacred words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And at the end of life, at a funeral service, those sacred words are spoken again, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust, in sure and certain hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In other words, life begins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and ends in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These words are bookends for the beginning and ending of our lives here on earth. The teachings about the Trinity grow out of scriptures. The word Trinity comes from church history from about the year 200 AD. The word Trinity comes from a Latin word, Trinitas. The word Trinity, however, does not occur anywhere in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity does. There are 23 Bible verses about the Trinity in the New Testament. One of these is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. All three Trinitarian words are there in that Bible verse, Son, Father, and Holy Spirit. Let us just take a moment to look at each part of that Bible verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace means gift, God's free gift of forgiveness to us. Grace is Jesus dying on the cross to forgive us our many sins. God's forgiveness for our sins is free, but not free for Christ. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins when he was nailed to the cross and suffered unbearable pain for us. His love and forgiveness for us has been freely given. Grace means freely given. Like the rain, like the sunshine, God gives you his gifts freely. You do nothing to deserve rain, sunshine, or forgiveness. Jesus is always called Lord. In the Old Testament, there are two words for God. There is the word God, and then there is the word Lord. In the Old Testament, you could say that the Lord made the heavens and the earth,
Or you could say, God made the heavens and the earth. When you say the word Lord, you mean God. Throughout the whole New Testament, Jesus is consistently referred to as Lord. When the New Testament writers put the name Lord by the name of Jesus, it means that Jesus was God. The next phrase is the love of God. We could add God the Father. We hear about the love of God the Father. Now, usually when people think about God, they think about intelligence, brilliance, conceptuality. The Bible does not focus on these attributes of God. Instead, the Bible focuses on the love of God the Father. Parents understand the following words: I deeply love my children and grandchildren. There is no doubt about that. And so does God, the Heavenly Father, love you and me. We are children who belong to God, the God who loves each one of us, except that God's love for us is multiplied by a billion. We are not talking about infinite intelligence. We are not talking about infinite brilliance. We are talking about infinite love. We are talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth and the stars and the endless reaches of the universe is also that God who loves you and me endlessly as a father loves a child. The next phrase is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is our belief that the same God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God who died in the person of Jesus and freely forgave us all our sins, and is the same God who is present right now inside of your heart and inside the hearts of this congregation. It is all the same God. The same God who was present at the creation of the universe is the same God who was crucified in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same God who is present within the Christian community. This is not a lesser God who is present this morning in our community. This is not a lesser experience here in our worship service right now. The living God who is living inside this congregation today and living inside of your hearts is the same God who created the heavens and the earth and is the same God who was living inside the body of Jesus. Another Bible verse that speaks of the Trinity is this: There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all in all. Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6. Notice the words, one Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father of all. And if we think about the verse from today's reading, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 19. This is probably the most obvious reference to the Trinity. In all of these passages, we don't hear the word Trinity, but these biblical passages consistently refer to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is a shorthand formula for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, let us briefly examine the Apostles' Creed. This creed is called the Apostles' Creed, not because the 12 apostles wrote it, but because this creed was named after the apostles. The Apostles' Creed was the baptismal creed of the church. For 1900 years of church history, every time there was a baptism, the church members recited the Apostles' Creed. In our church, at our traditional worship, we regularly say the Apostles' Creed. And although I have not included it in the service today, I would like to highlight three lines of it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. This is a Trinitarian creed. All the mainline churches believe that the Bible is the inspired and authoritative word of God for us. We are a Trinitarian church. We believe that God is the creator of the universe and is still creating it today. We believe that God was fully present in the person of Jesus Christ, We also believe that the Holy Spirit is also fully God. I would like to share an analogy from Dorothy L. Sayers, a Christian theologian who wrote the book The Mind of the Maker. Think of the play Hamlet by Shakespeare, or any play for that matter. Sayers said that the play was first in the mind of Shakespeare. Then, secondly, Shakespeare wrote it down on paper. Then thirdly, the play was acted out on stage. Now, which of these three expressions are the play Hamlet? In the mind, on the paper, acted out on stage? All three expressions are Hamlet. They are three different expressions of the same Hamlet. She said that this is the way of God in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three expressions are fully God. To know God in all of God's wonderful complexity and persona, you need to know God the Creator, who at the same time is the loving Father. You need to know God the Son, who loved you so much that he died on the cross to forgive us our sins. You need to know God the Holy Spirit, who is with you at this time. It is only when you know the full persona of God that you know God. Martin Luther knew that the truth about the triune God was based on revelation and not reason. Let me give you an illustration of this. I'm going to ask you to do something which is impossible for you to do. Would you imagine that there has never been any Christianity? There has never been any Christianity, and there has been no Jesus Christ. In that situation, what do you believe about God? There is no Christianity, there is no Bible, there are no creeds. What do you believe about God? You answer, well, there must be something that began it all. That something that began it all must be incredibly large. That something that began it all must be incredibly intelligent. That something that began it all must have a mind of beauty, because there are so many beautiful things in creation. There is a sense of mystery to it all. So these are the conclusions that your mind, in all of its intelligence, can come to about God. But based on the revelation in the scriptures, you come to the differing conclusions about God. The God who created the heavens and earth is the God who loves you infinitely more than any earthly mother or father. You don't come to such conclusions by your reason, intellect, or brain. You don't find such conclusions about God in your brain. You discover these conclusions through the revelation in Scripture. Similarly, that God loves you so much that he was willing to suffer and die for you on the cross. You don't find that truth in your reason or intellect, but you find it in the revelation in the scriptures. That this God is fully present in your heart and my heart and is with us this day. Such truth is not discovered in one's own brain, but is revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. And these scriptures we should share with others. Jesus and the 12 disciples had gone through Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, Good Friday, the miracle of Easter. Then Jesus appeared with them for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the text for today, Jesus was preparing to say his final goodbyes to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. His very last words were, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let us pray. God of unchangeable power, you have revealed yourself to us, a Father, a Son, and as Holy Spirit. Keep us firm in the faith, that we may praise and bless your holy name, for you are one God, now and forever. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is another one that reminds us of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's hymn number 498, Angel Voices Ever Raising. I just decided to change the name of that last hymn, and I thought it was Angel Voices Ever Raising, but Angel Voices Ever Singing, and Angel Voices Singing they were. We come before God with our prayers of dedication for the offering and our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you. But we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. Holy, holy, holy God, in calling forth creation from the void, revealing yourself in human flesh, and pouring forth your wisdom to guide us, you manifest your concern for your whole universe. You invite us, as your people, to gather the world's needs into our hearts and bring them before you. Almighty Father, you created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Your world is a majestic place, and at times we do not take the best care of it. Help us to do what we can to look after the planet so that we and future generations can continue to enjoy its wonder and beauty. May we bow before the mystery of your creative power. May we never fail to see the beauty of your creation because we pass through life hurriedly. May we always stop to consider the lilies of the field and the glory and beauty of creation. May we also be good caretakers of the environment of nature which we have inherited. Peaceful Father, as natural disasters strike, such as forest fires or typhoons, drought or famine, war or conflict, we pray for the safety of those nearby, for wildlife caught up in the destruction, and for the loss that many are facing, whether that be human or material. We pray for all places and people fraught by fragmentation, hatred, grief, violence, and brokenness. As ongoing violence continues in the world, we pray that one day there will be peace. Loving Father, we pray for our family, friends, members of our church and the community who are fighting their own battles. Remind us that we do not know what others are going through. Equip us with the skills to be understanding and supportive, to be the hands, feet, mouth, or the eyes that they need. Place your loving arm around them and let them know that you are there. In the silence, we bring to you what is weighing on our hearts and the people we want you to watch over today. Heavenly Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Touch our hearts with love, our minds with grace, and our souls with hope. Amen. Now, the observant among you might think that there is a misprint in the order of service for the last hymn. Maybe you're having a sense of déjà vu. Well, when you get a good going hymn that completely fits the theme of the service, there is sometimes just no other suitable alternative. So I hope you will bear with me as, like last week, we are going to finish this morning with hymn 110, Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, Great Jehovah, three in one. Go out into the world and live in peace. Bear witness to the God of love and peace, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that Christ has taught us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ hold you. May the love of God enfold you, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit uphold you and be with you all this day and forevermore.
Thank you.